Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. I got to catch up on some text messages, man. I'm looking right now. We just got a text in from Lauren from Right Side. So Lauren, by the way, is our salesperson. If you're looking to advertise on Right Side, if you want to know what it means as a ruffian who owns a business to sell to other ruffians, listen, Lauren is the one who will square you away, but she just texted in her own content for the show. She says, her two cents, Biden does not really have COVID. He's sleeping, trying to delay public scrutiny and disdain. I wondered about that. Like I said earlier in the show, I almost feel like he's losing confidence in himself now. Like everybody tells him he's not, so maybe he's just decided, maybe I'm just not. Maybe he just need to go back to Rehoboth Beach and just sit for a minute. And it may be that he's also gone back because they're having some very important discussions. She also says, and the Secret Service leader will not be fired. The left loves minorities as leaders, even horrible ones. Okay, good input. Lauren, by the way, Lauren, like I said, is the one who will fix you up. If you're interested in advertising on Right Side Radio, we'll square you away. All you got to do is go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the advertising tab, click on it, send us a message. Lauren will be back in touch ASAP. What else we got here? Jim from Grove Oaks says, hey, Colonel, don't you think Trump's pick for AG is as important as his pick for VP, if not more? Yeah. And I could see some out there that I think could be good ones. But I think his whole cabinet is going to be dynamic. I think it's going to be very spot on. And I look forward to seeing who he chooses because I'll be honest with you, look at who all ran just for president. Look at the dynamics and the depth of the bench, if you will. Bruce from Springville says the Secret Service director is what you call a quota hire. In other words, DEI, along with the female agent there that looked like she wasn't short of any donuts, he says. Jeremy from Madison says Republicans had an election stolen from them in 2020. Democrats have a primary stolen by themselves in 2024. Sounds like karma. Sounds like Karmala. Kamala. Anyway, great point. They're not afraid to steal an election even from their own people. James from St. Clair says, "What if you just don't hang on? What do we got here?" James St. Clair is talking about like the COVID vaccine mandates they foisted on the military. He says, "What if you just don't trust any doctor-administered medical injections of any kind anymore? Is that a good reason not to join the U.S. military?" Think how many weighed their options and put their retirements at risk to avoid getting the kill shot. That was a big story in the past couple of years. It was a big story, James. Listen, if it's not for you, don't go. That's what I say. But don't let it be because you believe you won't be supported. Don't let it be because you believe there's no honor in following the leaders that are currently leading or not leading. Let it be because... And that James has got a point there. That's one of the what I would call the logistics of life. It's one of those things. It's one of those life decisions you make and decide, well, the military is not for me. But don't let it ever be because you did not see the military as a honorable service. What else we got here? MJ from Decatur says, got off the Secret Service director's back. It takes time to gather information. Publicizing is dangerous. Shut up, MJ. That's ridiculous. Get off the Secret Service director's back. How about this? The Secret Service director is a public figure with a highly important job. Her job is to have thick enough skin to take the heat when things aren't going her way. Get off the Secret Service director's back. How about this? Wake up and get on the Secret Service director's back, because I got news based on the tone of your text right there. I'd say if this had been Biden, you'd be screaming for heads to roll. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Phil, what a difference a new RNC chairman makes compared to the last one we had. I think that's one of the main reasons everything's going better now. I would agree with that. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, I didn't attend a text today. I want to absorb the recognition of the wisdom and integrity of the presenters over the days of the RNC convention. As you have emphasized, from the everyday citizens who are moms and dads to Gold Star families to political office servants who actually focus on service to our military members esteemed with highest honors, I am encouraged and reinvigorated by what we could do together in strength and honor. Stay in the fight. Victory's on the horizon. Thank you, TL. Great, great text. A couple more here, and then I'll move on to my next topic. Ken from Harvest. I wouldn't be surprised if Joe's COVID diagnosis is used as a cover to invoke the 25th Amendment. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Lynn from Knoxville, Tennessee, says, I don't think he has COVID either. The left told us for months that Trump would be an authoritarian dictator, existential threat to democracy. After 14 million votes for Biden, the Democrat elites want to change direction. Isn't this the perfect example of an existential threat to democracy? It's not the will of the people. It's the will of a few. And I think, by the way, Lynn, I think that's the message right there. If Biden's not on the ballot, it's going to be because the will of the few prevailed over the will of the many. Now, if there's a true medical emergency, okay, let's see. But did it just spring up? Because we've been seeing it for the longest time, right? But I think your point is so well taken. If Biden says, I've lost the confidence of my party, it is time for me to step down and let someone else have the job. I'm going to ask for Kamala Harris to be given the nomination or whatever. If he does that, then it's going to be like saying the will of the people was not as important as the will of the few, because the will of the few are what prevailed upon him to leave. And then last one, Alice from Huntsville, the Secret Service's job can be life or death. She chose death. Ooh, I don't know if she chose it, Alice. I'm not ready to go there yet, but I think she definitely was negligent in her role. All right, let's jump into the next dipper here. And it segues right off what we've been talking about. By the way, Jerry from Decatur said, if MJ is from Decatur, I'm moving. No, man, don't do it. Stay there and keep the flow going, brother. Airborne. All right. So number two is actually Biden on the rocks. I had this planned early this morning. More has come out since then. There have been stories that have been breaking just since I've been on the air about the rising chorus of voices within Democrat leadership calling for Biden to step down. So there's a story at the top of, one of the news sites that I keep open. I've got four open right now. One of them is Fox, and it says the Trump campaign on the Biden turmoil. The quote is, Democrats can't even figure out who their nominee should be. Yeah, they're 90 days away from the general election, not from the convention, mind you. They're past the primary. Listen, by the way, think back. The time for running for office starts with exploratory committees a year and a half or more prior from the election. It starts with true fundraising and campaigning, according to federal campaign finance law, a year before the primaries. The primaries are already months ago. All the electoral votes for the Democrat side went to, the delegates went to Biden. And now they are just that close, and they're trying to figure out how to pull the plug? Says former President Trump's campaign is contrasting what they call a unified GP at the Republican National Convention with the latest turmoil surrounding President Biden's re-election bid. On Thursday, a Trump campaign official told Fox News, when you look at what we've done this convention, we've demonstrated to the American people that not only is the Republican Party unified, but we have a unifying vision for the entire country with Trump's agenda and a plan for America well established. This is their message. This is their message. A unifying agenda to move the country forward. That's the message right there. You're going to hear it over and over again. I think that's what the speech is going to be tonight when Trump gives his first address as the official nominee. That they are looking for a unifying vision for the country to move forward. At the same time, they say Democrats can't even figure out who their nominee should be. That's an epic and unfortunate truth for the Democrats right now. Dang. And here's the thing. I got a piece right here, townhall.com. Some of y'all know about Van Jones. He used to work for Obama. He now works for CNN as a regular contributor. He delivered it with what Town Hall's article calls a brutal observation on the state of his own party. Get this. Quote from Van Jones, quote, a bullet couldn't stop Trump, but a virus just stopped Biden. The Democrats are coming apart. The Republicans are coming together. That was Democrat Van Jones. That is a takedown right there. Listen, we're going to talk about it in more detail. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I am in number two of the Triple Dipper, Biden on the rocks. What's going to happen? You know what? It's almost anybody's guess, but we'll work through what we know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, man, just making it cool to be a conservative. So I'm in this, I'm calling it Biden on the rocks. Biden is on the rocks right now. I mean, his ship is being scuttled as we speak. He is being intentionally run aground to try and avoid the storms is what we're looking at. So the Biden campaign just came out a little while ago. And here's the quote from Principal Deputy Campaign Manager Quentin Fulks, who said at a news conference today, "Our campaign is not working through any scenarios where President Biden is not at the top of the ticket. He is and will be the Democratic nominee." Okay, that's fine, Quentin, but you work for the campaign. So, of course, your job is vested in the idea of him being a candidate. So I get it. But then here's the other thing. Story on Breitbart broke night before last. Jen O'Malley Dillon is the chairlady of the Joe Biden reelection campaign. And she admitted in an all-hands campaign call that it's been an awful time to work for the campaign. I mean, so morale is at an all-time low, apparently. I won't quote exactly the way she said. I'll have to bleep myself, but this is what she said. She was on an all-hands call for campaign staffers, and she said, "We've had two very, very, very hard weeks, very bad weeks. I told you I'd level with you, and they've been blank weeks." But this was before the assassination attempt. So, I mean, it's been that bad, even before the assassination attempt. She then urged everyone to ignore all the crazy blank gossip. And then she also said, "This two-week window has really sucked. It's hard. There's no doubt about it. It's hard for all of us because we're doing a job." Boy, there's leadership for you. Hey, everybody. All right, troops, gather around. You ready? Okay, look, life sucks. It really does. It's just hard. It's just been bad. It's just awful. I mean, what else would you expect from the Biden campaign? This is how they encourage the troops. Okay, all you guys, listen. We need to throw 100% in there, but I mean, God, it's just sucked, hadn't it? Hadn't it been hard? It's just been rough. I mean, like, whew, oh, I don't know if I can keep going, but we need y'all to keep going. Everybody got it? Okay, ready? Break. I mean, what kind of a leader is that? Now, keep in mind, it's not just been a bad week for Biden in terms of like his own policies. I would imagine that at this particular moment, it's hard to be Joe Biden. I say that with the assumption that he understands life going on around him. But my perception is that he struggles. He knows he struggles, but he's trying to work through the struggles. But he's finally, the sycophants have stopped telling him, "Everything's okay. You're doing great. Just keep staring at the camera. It'll all be good." That's finally stopped. The only one telling him that is his wife. But it gets pretty bad when, you know, there's that criticism of Biden not wanting to spend time grieving with people when they're suffering loss. But it's really something when he reaches out and they reject his reaching out. That happened. Helen Comparatore is the widow of the man who was fatally shot at Trump's Butler, Pennsylvania rally last Saturday, right? He was a retired fire chief. Apparently, he'd been the chief of a volunteer fire department. That's a thankless job, by the way. Volunteer firemen, thank y'all for what you do, being willing to jump out of your beds in the middle of the night for a job that really doesn't pay and go do something that's important to other people. But Helen Comparatore is the widow of the man who was shot and killed. And President Biden reached out to call her, and she declined to take the call. Her words, "I didn't talk to Biden. I didn't want to talk to him. My husband was a devout Republican. He would not have wanted me to talk to him." Now, she's gotten some flack for this. You know, she's gotten some flack for not taking the call. But I saw something. I don't know if y'all follow Mary Catherine Hamm. She used to be a Fox News contributor. I think she's an independent now. But Mary Catherine Hamm said something the other day that I thought was fairly profound. A few years ago, she lost her husband, her first husband, to cancer, I believe. And it was a gut punch. And it was hard. And she talked about how she just had trouble even going to places where there were going to be people who were aligned with she and her former husband because she just wasn't ready for it. She even had an opportunity to be at the White House because she's a political commentator, and she just declined to go. And people said, why? And she said, I'm a political hack and I'm still not ready to go. Well, this woman is not a political person. She's just lost her husband. She just lost her husband, and she probably in some part blames the vitriol being put out by the Biden side of things for the actions of the shooter. And she just declined to even take his call. But think about what that means when you've got a grieving widow in a very public, you know, crime that resulted in her husband's death. And you're on the Biden team, and you're like, Mr. President, the best thing you can do right now is quickly reach out and touch this paperwork. And then she declines to take the call. Y'all, it's just rough to be Biden right now. It is Biden on the rocks. And so today, the calls ramped up. This whole idea that the calls to get rid of Biden from his own people were somehow going to back off and sort of chill out and, you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to go ahead and ride it all the way out. We're going to dance with the one that brung us. No, not anymore. Reports are that Obama himself is calling for him to step down. Nancy Pelosi is said to be calling him to step down. Hakeem Jeffries, Adam Schiff openly called for him to be stepped down. Chuck Schumer has now asked for the vote on the candidacy they were going to do, you know, offline or online, excuse me, to get him in, you know, quicker. Asked for that to be delayed. It's tough right now to be Biden. Y'all, it's Biden on the rocks right now. Is he going to make it all the way through? We'll finish that conversation right after this. And then we'll talk for a minute about the theme we're going to see tonight on Unity. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about it. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, before I go any further, I got to tell you, so like in the past month, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors, Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. So did you know that some of the most popular companies that people invest in as part of their overall portfolio, their retirement planning, all of that, that some of those companies that are invested in are simply just not aligned with biblical values? Like your investment dollars, they could be going to things that support stuff like abortion, pornography, even human trafficking. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are specialists in the field of what is known as biblically responsible investing, or BRI. Paul and Inspire, they would love to offer you a free consultation. I mean, seriously, a free consultation, no strings attached. They'll just help you look at your portfolio, figure out whether it's filled with stuff that might appall you, and if it is, offer you some opportunities to find biblically aligned alternatives. So to learn more about BRI, just contact Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors today. There's no cost. There's no obligation. Quickest way to find them, by the way, just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Just rightsidemedia.org. You go on the Right Side Radio tab, click on sponsors, click on their logo, bam, takes you right to their website. Paul Breyer, Inspire Advisors. It's so easy, y'all. It's conservative, it's godly, it's balanced, it's financial freedom with Inspire Advisors. Check them out. I wish you would. I'm going to go to the phones real quick. Is that Jeffro? Jeffro from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Biden on the rocks. Ain't no surprise. Spoke for me again because I told you some lies.
You got nothing to do but just think of stuff like that while you drive, don't you?
Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lanes of traffic, and we're all going 5 miles an hour. Yeah, I got a lot of time to think.
You must be in Nashville. You must be in Nashville right now. Well, golly bum. What do you think, man? Is Biden going to be on the ticket come November?
I think Well, no, I don't think he's going to be on the ticket. I think he'll finish his term out. But the thing about it is, though, it's well, I don't know if he'll finish his term or not, because we need a Kamala Harris in there, a President Harris in there, because they can't, you know, at this point here, they can't throw their money anywhere else. He's got, what, $200 million that he can't get rid of, and I don't even know where that money would go to if he doesn't use it. Who gets that money?
We can do a lot with it at Right Side Radio, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but those are all contributed to him and Harris. So what does happen if with that money if he doesn't isn't able to use it? Who does it go to?
I think they have to keep Harris on the ticket for that very reason. If Biden here's the only way for them to do this with any measure of decorum, and that's for Biden to say, I have lost the confidence of my party, and I am going to step down for the nomination. And I love all of you, and I'll finish out my term and go to the House. And he'll be a lame duck for 6 months. And then at the same time, the question becomes, okay, Kamala plus who? By the way, I did have somebody, I wish I could remember who it was earlier in the show. I saw it right. It was a text left over from yesterday that I'd missed. They said, we talk about kakistocracy all the time. They said if it becomes a Kamala Harris nomination, can we call it a cacklestocracy?
Yeah. Can you imagine her being president? It'd just be nervous laughter for 4 years.
Oh, Lord God. Geez. She's laughing and we're crying. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I've did a lot of crying so far. But think about they was going to do this thing for him for Ohio. See, now they've called that off. So is he even going to be on the ballot in Ohio?
I don't know. You're talking about the fact that he was. Yeah. So Ohio and Alabama were the two states. And I think there was one other that they were doing their Democratic National Convention so late that it was going to violate state laws to put the officially nominated candidate on the ballot after the convention because they did it so late. So Ohio, they didn't fix the law. Alabama did. Yeah. Alabama, did one of those, okay, we'll take care of you. And the legislature did a thing. And they didn't do it in Ohio. Ohio's like, oh, good luck, fellas. So they're going to do a Zoom call.
Alabama extended their time, but Ohio didn't. So that's why they was going to nominate him before the convention. But now that's been called off. So is there even going to be a Democrat on the ballot in Ohio this year?
Listen. The whole thing is crazy. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. And I like to think that I'm kind of politically dialed in, like this is kind of what I pay attention to a lot. And I've never seen anything like this in my life. Now, we've had some craziness in Alabama politics, governors stepping down, people, getting supplanted on the ballot by their own party. You look back at Charlie Graddick and all that kind of stuff in Alabama, but nothing like what I'm seeing in the Democrats right now. But, all right,
okay,
listen, go ahead.
Okay, you're now the DNC chairman. What do you do? What would you do?
Go on a long vacation.
And never come back.
Oh, Lord. All right, man. I'll be safe on the road. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, Bill.
We'll see you. One of the things that's happened in the last few days, too, you're looking at it and there's this renewed call. Like story here on hotair.com, Adam Schiff literally called for Biden to step down. I won't go into the whole thing, but it says that Schiff is heavily favored to win his Senate seat. Not really. In fact, I saw where Steve Garvey, the former L.A. Dodgers great who's running against him as a Republican, just beat him in fundraising. So we'll see. But he said there's serious concerns now about whether Biden can win. He says a second Trump presidency will undermine the very foundation of our democracy. I have serious concerns about whether the president, meaning Biden, can defeat Donald Trump in November. Okay, that's Adam Schiff, who probably got permission to do that from Nancy Pelosi, because he wouldn't be making that kind of call out loud were it not for Nancy giving him room to do it. And then you got Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, the Senate Majority Leader, the House Minority Leader, collaborating to delay the process for formalizing Biden as the Democrat nominee. Axios reported that. I'm looking at Axios right now. Phil, did you go to Axios? Yes, I did. Axios. Why does it matter? Well, it's a signal that congressional leaders are sympathizing with rank and file, and they're saying, you know what? Maybe we've been wrong to push him all this time. Yeah, maybe you have. And guess what? You let it get all the way through the primary vote. You didn't have a real primary, and you put up a guy who can't tie his shoes right now. What's going to happen?
Anybody's guess. Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, story here on townhall.com, Dateline today. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reportedly took the gloves off to get Joe Biden to drop out of the race. Basically, she's behind the scenes right now working against him. One Pelosi ally said it was possible she would press Biden publicly to give up his spot atop the Democrat ticket, saying, quote, she does not want to call on him to resign, but she will do everything in her power to make sure it happens. I would hate to know that Pelosi was gunning for you. I mean, good gosh. Next to Hillary Clinton, who else is more deadly? Joe Biden has made comments in several over the last several days that there are reasons why he would step down. First of all, never admit that. Don't dance to their tune. The old saying in political world when you're running for office is when you have to start responding to what they're saying about you, then all you're doing is dancing to their tune. So by Biden doing that, he's literally saying that this is a topic of consideration. It's not really being talked about, but just in case, really? So what we're looking at right now is that Biden said if they told him that he would have no possibility of winning, or if they told him that a illness or a medical condition of his was such that he couldn't run, then he would consider it. The other one was if God Almighty came down from the heavens and told him. Anything can happen. I feel like we're in the end times. Lynn from Knoxville just texted in about something that I've also got in my hands. Lynn, story from the New York Times, and she says it's also on CNN, this reporting that President Biden has become, quote, more receptive to the idea of stepping down. He's reportedly asking, can Kamala Harris win? Chuck Schumer apparently provided the detailed reasoning on why it'd be best for the party and the country should he step down. Like nothing we've ever seen, y'all. Like nothing we've ever seen. I got a call real quick. I'll take it for the break. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. And you just tagged part of what I was about to talk about, which is, it might be hard for people, and love thy enemy is what we've been told through the word. So the man is sick. He's hurting. Can we pray for him to have the facilities to go back to God, to look and listen, and especially for Jill to be able to?
That's a great point, man.
That's it, sir.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Bye. That's a great point, Brian. I'll segue off that for the break. We're not told to pray for the leaders we like. We're told to pray for those in authority. Like it or not, like him or not, like his policies or not, believe that he's even capable or not. He is in a position of authority. There's that great scene towards the end of the epic miniseries Band of Brothers when the infamous Captain Sobel, who's still a captain, comes walking along and he sees his former lieutenant who he had picked on is now a major. He tries to look away and walk past him. Dick Winters, the major, looks over and says, Captain Sobel. And Sobel turned and said, yes, sir. He said, you salute the rank, not the man. Point taken. Sobel rendered salute and moved on. Here's the deal. You pray for the office and you pray for the person. You don't pray for the policies. You pray about those, certainly, but we're just called to. So right now, I guess the blessing would be that he has good health. He's able to retire with some measure of dignity, that we're able to recover from the things he implemented. But at the same time, that reason is able to work its way through and that we, as well as he, are the beneficiaries of reason. All right, we're taking a break right now, and then we'll come right back and put a lid on this day. This has been some more kind of a day. Strength and honor. If you didn't hear today's monologue, I want to encourage you to get it. It's available to you on the Right Side podcast, which is like just going gangbusters right now. Strength and honor. That's who we are as a people. We'll close it out in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back.